We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe. I am Christy Winter-Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim, right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. We have a lot of business to get to today, some big things, and it's all hoops. And wow, so many great games and big time upsets in the top 25, in the top five. Really, really great basketball being played right now as we're fighting through February.
It's that time of year, you know, it's getting serious. Everyone's getting serious. If you're casually dating someone before Valentine's Day, we hope you had a happy one, but guess what? Now might be time to start thinking about seriousness. How serious are you about the rest of the season? Well, and I guess the rest of your relationship, if we're talking about Valentine's Day, but I think teams had a check on what I call last week, Fall Spring Sunday, which was okay. Crazy. And we had a number of upsets on that day. We had a number of upsets throughout the week. And then this week we get into it. And we had a lovely Tuesday night of Big Ten basketball. And we learned who's making the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean, I do have one quick question as to why we put this night on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
But regardless, my wife and I are doing something tonight in lieu. So,
Well, I took my mom to lunch today, you know, just, you know, the 14th was just a jam-packed day. So
it was too much. Yeah. And I think we have to start off though with that Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, because our friend of the podcast, Her Hoop Stats contributor and one of the best women's basketball announcers ever, now cemented in that status, Debbie Antonelli makes it to the hall.
Golf clap for my girl, Debbie Antonelli. We are both moms of three. That's a club, you know, Kim Barnes Rico's in that, you know, we have like people around the country, but Debbie Antonelli, congratulations, my friend. Oh my gosh. I owe you a call. I always love speaking to her. It lifts my spirits. And she is just a genuine woman of her word, number one, but a genuine woman in this game. And that's men's and women's basketball. When I say game, I mean the game of basketball, period. Like, she is just such a savant. She is an encyclopedia of information on men's and women's basketball. Like, she just knows it and studies it. And her best advice to me was no downtime. And I've taken that to heart. And this was like years ago. And I was like, gosh, you know, sometimes you're doing 5-7 games a week. Like, how do you do that? She looked at me and she goes, no downtime. And I was like, all right, okay. That's what it takes. Cause it's like, it's basketball. We love it. So it's like, do whatever you can to stay around it. And she has not just stayed around it, but she has just embraced it and taking it to different levels and new heights. And you just have to respect it and appreciate it.
I, as someone who has produced a YouTube show from Debbie Antonelli's car, I can tell you she has no downtime. She goes all over the country and she's just recording herself in the car, recording podcasts. She's incredible. And I didn't know this. She's been doing this for 34 years. I mean, I knew she was doing this for a long time, but when you see it laid out, 34 years, two Emmys, like, very happy that she gets this honor, very well deserved, and well deserved for so many people on this list. You have recognizable names, Becky Hammon, Penny Taylor, just a great class, and really happy for everyone. So we'll give a nice little golf clap on the podcast before we give a full round of applause. I don't know, I think the I'm trying to see when the induction ceremony is. It's on June 11th.
June. Yeah, I was going to say it's usually June. And congrats to Paul Sanderford. He was a head coach at Western Kentucky back in the day. And me, without any guidance, had 100 home visits. And he was one of them. But I was not going that far away. But we did give him some good restaurants in the Northern Virginia area after the home visit. So that was good. But anyway, congrats to him as well.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to learn more about the stories of everyone. You know, I've someone who is really big on basketball history, but I came at it from a men's angle from when I was younger. So now it's time for me to start, you know, getting my women's basketball history up to par. So I'm going to start doing some research. Maybe we'll do something on this class when it gets closer. We just want to say shout out to Debbie, our friend of the pod. On to less fun news about another basketball Hall of Famer. Tamika Catchings is out as Indiana Fever general manager. It hasn't been a great stretch of general managing for Tamika Catchings. Obviously, she's one of the greatest basketball players we've ever seen in this game. But that didn't necessarily translate to the front office, and they decided to go their separate ways. I believe Tamika is still going to be, you know, she's going to be a part of that organization, regardless if she has an official position or not. But I think they moved on, and, you know, we'll see what happens with the Fever going forward. But it was just, you know, I saw people saying, oh, you know, it's going to be good for the team. And yeah, it's good, but I don't know. It made me really sad to see it go down like that.
I mean, she has just brought so much passion to the game, not just with Indiana, but also before that in Tennessee. You know, playing through injuries and being injured and having to sit out with injuries and then coming back and showing how much she missed the game. I was surprised. And I know they record wise, they haven't done quite what they have expected themselves to do. Mm-hmm. However, she did say that this is a good time in her life to focus on her family and other passions that she may have. And that to me, struck me as a powerful statement, because that's not the only thing that Tamika Catchings does, right? I mean, she has her foundation, she owns companies, and she has restaurants in the Indiana area. I mean, she's doing so many other things, and she has other passions. And I think that's very important for everyone, but most importantly for women to know that you don't have to be locked in a box and this is the only passion that you have. You can be passionate about several different things, right? That you want to do, or you set goals for yourself to do. So yes, it's a sad moment, because you think of the Fever, you think of Catchings immediately. And she even said, like, the past two decades, I've just been involved in this family. And I'll always be with the Fever, like you said. But I think, you know, for the business decision to be made, I thought that was pretty tough to hear and pretty surprising at this juncture. But I also, again, appreciated the fact that this isn't the end of the road for her in the game of women's basketball or the game of basketball. And she has several other passions. And I just want the younger women to hear that. Like, you don't have to be locked into one thing and just do that. Do everything that you're passionate about. Every single thing, and do it full throttle. And that's what Tamika Catchings does. And she's a good example of not being locked into, you know, this being it for her. Like, this is my only thing. No, it's not. You have other things that you can focus on.
Yeah, no, I co-sign that. And, you know, I just also, I like want to point out, like, people are like, oh, she wasn't a good GM. And yeah. It's like, I don't understand how we can like evaluate that, because I don't know. For me, I'm always looking at this from an organizational perspective. Like if you bring in the best player in your franchise history to be the GM, and then it doesn't work out, that's on you as an organization as much as it is on the GM, right? Like you didn't put her in the right positions to succeed, right? Like you need to complement what she does well. So Tamika Catchings has incredible basketball knowledge. Perhaps she, you know, could have used someone to help her more understanding how to fit people in their salary cap, how to build the team for the future, understanding the timetable of a team. And so to me, it all comes back to, are you putting people in the right positions, in the right roles, and getting the right people around them? It's just like playing basketball. You know, like you're not, you can be the best point guard in the world. If you don't have a shooter around you, you're big to score, you're not going to be doing much. And the same with the GM. Yeah. If you're put in a position as a GM where the only thing it's all on you, or you don't have someone to help you or push you in the right directions, or you have ownership telling you different things, it's not going to work out. So that's all I just want to point out. Like, yeah, maybe Tamika didn't do the greatest job as a GM, but that's also on the organization as much as it is on her. And I think the organization feels that way too. I think they feel like, you know, hey, we kind of failed her as much as we think, you know, we had to make this change. But we'll see what happens with the Fever. Lynn Dunn is in charge, which is fun.
I love Lynn Dunn.
Interim GM. She's been with the Fever this entire time, right?
She has. And, you know, I've been to some coaching clinics where she's speaking, and, you know, she was just, oh my gosh, so dynamic and full of information and play calls and situational X's and O's on the board. I still have notes from what she said and how she instructed the coaches that were in that clinic. She's just amazing. I mean, for her to win that championship, what was it, 2012 with Tamika? Yeah. You know, just speaks volumes. And then you're talking about, you know, her ABL in Portland and also at Purdue prior to that. So, I mean, and there are other things, but I mean, she has just been one of those pioneers that we don't really talk about enough, and all of the things that she has been able to do to impact the game.
No, and I hope she, you know, shepherds this interim process, but I do hope the Fever bring in, you know, someone who's has a longer leash to rebuild and understands how to do that. Cause it's a difficult process to rebuild the franchise, and they really need to, you know, say, hey, where are we going with this group? Is this group going to get us a championship? How can we change that fortune if we don't think it's favorable to us? Okay. I do want to get into some more WNBA news. We're going to do news first, and then I want to get into a long discussion about the Big Ten because it was wild. But Breanna Stewart, in her press conference in announcing her return to the Seattle Storm for 1 year, she said this about one of the reasons why she signed the one-year contract. Actually, she put the entire reason she signed the one-year contract on the statement. I just want to like push back on that in just a second. But here's what she said. So prioritization is like the biggest topic of conversation in the WNBA for me, especially in the next couple of years. To be able to play overseas at Ekaterinburg, where basketball is very valued, we are treated really well and able to make a lot of money. It's just hard for me with the prioritization. You're cutting off one of my sources of income and not substituting it. She's talking about the prioritization rule in the WNBA CBA that will start being implemented next season with fines, and the following year it's basically going to be like, if you're not here at training camp, you can't play in the WNBA. I think what she's saying is, why are you taking away a source of income for me while also not paying me as much as that league is, because she wants to play in both leagues. And I totally stand by it. But it's interesting that this is coming out on the heels of Courtney Vandersloot similarly talking about this. I've been talking about this for a while, and I've heard people around the league are talking about it a little bit more. So I think there's going to have to be some give and take here between the league and the player association, because if this is a big deal for Breanna Stewart, it's a big deal for a lot of players. So I think they're going to have to change up a little bit of what they're doing with that rule. And I hope they could come to some sort of an agreement to start at least thinking about the solutions to the problem, because I do think what she's saying is true. That if it affects the bottom line of these players and it doesn't positively affect, like, I don't see the positive benefit that's for the WNBA at this point, because they have not put in the work to work with those European leagues to make the schedules more in line. So we'll see what happens, but I just wanted to get that out there that, oh, and the other thing is too, like, I haven't heard a really good rationale as to why that would be the only reason she signed a one-year contract in Seattle. So I think my reasoning that she signed a one-year contract in Seattle so she could actually look at different locations next year is still true. Just maybe out there. But that's just like what
she was shopping.
I think she's going to be shopping. I think that's really the bigger impetus behind the one-year deal. Mm-hmm. But this prioritization rule is definitely a concern for the WNBA. And I think if it's a concern for Stewart, you know, I think the WNBA is going to have to come up with a solution at some point, because you don't, why are we going to not have Brianna Stewart in our league for even a second? If this is a problem for her, but we'll see how much of a problem it is too, because there's a lot of different variables that we won't get into right now, but I just want to get your reaction to her comments.
Well, I think, like you said, there's a lot of truth to it. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of thought that these professional players put into the decisions that they make. So we can't minimize that. And that's the reality. Mm-hmm. And I think we have been talking about that. I don't want to say it's a conflict. I guess it's is, though. It's a conflict. The conflict of playing overseas and also in the WNBA. And we've seen it, like players coming late to training camp or coming, you know, right before the first game, and they need a break with their body, but the team also needs them. So there are a lot of conundrums because of the timing. And I think, like you said, it can be structured in such a way that it benefits the players, where they don't have to have one day in between their European season and the WNBA training camps or the WNBA preseason games. I just think that there's a way to be more fair to them in that way. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to give a list of things this needs to be done, but there has to be a way. I mean, they understand each other, and I think they know that they actually need each other.
Of course.
I think they need each other. I mean, the way that the game is going and, you know, the style of play and all of that, I think has really been fostered by having the experience of those players bring that back to the WNBA. And a lot of them are teammates over there. And so they continue to have that good chemistry together. So, I mean, there are a lot of bonuses for having the WNBA players have that European experience over there. But I mean, professionally speaking and physically and mentally speaking for the players as well, and financially speaking, I think that, you know, there's got to be a way where they can make it work for both sides and both sides not have a problem with it. You know what I mean? Like they can't say, well, this would work, but that's going to cut into something that we want to do. Like, I think there's a way to do it where everybody's able to shake hands and be happy with the deal.
And that
when the deal is the calendar, like that's the deal right now.
No, I think it's look, they just have to pay more money. WNBA, if you want this problem to go, it won't go. Well, if you pay people more money, it will. There's always a price. Everyone has a price to drop. As a lawyer, I can tell you, everyone has a price to drop their largest principles. It does not. Principles are great. Money is better, especially in this scenario. So if you want people to stay and not go overseas, pay them more. Make it worth their while to not do it, and they won't do it. And that's what Russia's trying to do. Now, that being said, this probably does only affect a certain number of players at the top.
True.
But, like, you need the players at the top to sell the league, just like the players at the top need the WNBA to grow their American revenue base. So there's a beneficial way to handle this.
Right.
I'm sure they could come to it if they actually just come to the table. The problem is getting people to the table, because this is a collectively bargained agreement. I don't think it's quite as tough to change as some people think, because, you know, I haven't looked at all the rules for amendments, but they ain't that hard to change a couple lines of text in a contract. So I think there could be a thing to, if they can actually get to the table and both sides realize that this is mutually beneficial, to come to the table and either slightly change the rule, abandon the rule, push it back, you know, put in some more parameters to it. I think that's best. If they just decide, hey, you signed this agreement, therefore you have to go with it, I think that's just not, I don't think that's mutually beneficial. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with that. These are just my random thoughts as a person trying to find good basketball on the American side, because I don't want to wake up that early. Let's move over to the person who kind of kicked off the whole prioritization thing, Courtney Vandersloot, coming back to Chicago.
Right.
Another 1-year deal. Interesting. Another person who would probably point to the prioritization rule as one of the reasons they took a 1-year deal. There's also a theory going on Twitter that she wants to check out Seattle once Sue Bird retires next year. So many, many a thing could be happening with Courtney Vandersloot. Glad to see her back in Chicago, though.
Yeah, definitely glad to see her back. But I mean, would that be a package deal with Quigley if they go to Seattle? I mean,
they won't go this year.
Oh, I know. But I'm saying, like, what's Quigley's contract like? So she's, I mean.
Oh, she's a free agent right now at the moment. So, I mean, I'm assuming.
I'm assuming
because Courtney Vandersloot's coming back, you know, that her wife would come back too. I mean, that's just like, I know it's a crazy theory, but I'm guessing her wife is also going to come back to Chicago. I'm guessing we haven't heard that yet, but Michelle Vopel's reporting that Courtney's going to come back. So one would assume that Allie Quigley's coming back. I believe Christina Williams tweeted that those are progressing in the right direction. So yeah, okay. So those two will probably come back, but then, you know, I'm guessing they're a package deal for the rest of your life. That's how marriage works, folks.
Yeah.
Talking about Valentine's deal.
Like, happy Valentine's Day. Hey, listen, absolutely. But that's what I was thinking when you said that she may sniff out Seattle. So I'm like, okay. So, I mean, they would both have to fit there.
Yeah.
So it's not just her. Like, if it's a package deal, if Quigley's a free agent this year, she's going to sign for 1 year in Chicago, and then they both investigate other teams. Like, it has to be, it's not just Courtney, is what I'm saying.
No, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, although Allie has talked more openly about retiring. I think she's considering it this summer. I don't think that's going to happen based on you know, Christina Williams tweets and, you know, various things we've heard on Twitter. She's 35 though, so I mean, totally, you know, within the realm of retiring and moving on to the next phase. But she may also want to do, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here in terms of the Seattle thing next year. I am super duper excited though to have these two back in Chicago where they won the title, where they've been for so long, and with how much they mean to the community. I think it's a great thing, even for one more year. I think, you know, I like to see a team take a victory lap.
Yeah, absolutely. And then not only a victory lap, but now they also have Emma Meesom in there. So yeah,
She looked good. She looked good in the FIBA World Cup tournament. I mean, oh man, it was
very, very good. She looked very good. And oh, shout out to Emma, because Emma inboxed me because they were working out at Georgetown. And the Georgetown women, because Bree, my daughter, plays at Georgetown, number 15, go on 5. But she was, I guess, at the game on Wednesday.
Oh, really?
And took a picture of the gym. She was like, I was looking for you. And I was at the game, but I guess she didn't come in. She was outside the door. And I was like, darn it, you should have come in. But that's my girl still. I mean, even though she shifted teams, that's my M's from when she was a 19-year-old rookie. So we'll never forget.
It's just laundry, folks, at the end of the day. I mean, sure there's some hurt feeling. There's some hurt feelings on both sides about whatever, you know, about leaving and all that. But end of the day, everyone's still cordial and nice.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's my girl, man. Yeah, but I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, no, I thought I was happy to see her back. It was tough to watch her play against the team that I was rooting for, which is the United States of America, which is the team I root for in international play. I don't think that's unfair. So it was tough though to watch her play on the team that I was rooting against, which people in DC are going to have to get used to it. Although there's a lot of Belgian fans. I don't know if you caught any of that game. There's a lot of Belgian fans at that game.
I remember when Emma was here in DC, there were a couple of restaurants in the DC area in the city that were, you know, the Belgium foods. And I think probably all of them were there. That was good. But no, she has that magnetism also, so I'm sure there were a lot of people rooting for the USA, but also cheering for her individually because of her connections to DC.
And she got a big cheer. So I was really happy to see her. All right. I think that's all the WNBA news we have for now.
We're for now, but there's going to be more.
Yeah, we're still waiting on the official Liz deal. That has not happened yet.
Oh, wait, the Mystics signed their...
Oh, yes, we talked about this.
We see that. That's final.
Yes, that is official. Ruri Machida coming to the Mystics on a training camp contract. Oh. So she has a chance to make the team. This is about... you know, her trying to expand her game a little bit. So it's not necessarily about her getting a big contract and getting a guaranteed spot. Mm-hmm. That being said, as you know, we watched it in the Olympics.
We sure did.
She is 5'4". Okay. But she don't play like she is 5'4".
She's a killer.
She's a killer. I mean, you know, the team's losing Leilani Mitchell this year. I think she can slot right into that position and be a really solid backup point guard if she makes... Hopefully, I think she'll make the roster. I think she can slot into that backup point guard position if she can get used to the speed of WNBA. She did it against France. France is a really, really good, you know, WNBA caliber team in the international scene. So I think she has a chance of adjusting and being able to fill in that role for the Mystics.
No doubt. I mean, she holds the Olympic record with 18 assists. So, okay. I want to see all of that magic because I love a good pass just almost as much as I love a good block, almost, but I love a good pass. And the way that she just conducted herself in the Olympics in terms of making plays and initiating offense and pushing tempo, I don't think the speed of the WNBA is going to be a challenge for her. I think she's going to, like you said, slide right into that role. And she's going to be, I mean, all the players that she's going to have to pass to, what she's going to probably break that 18 assists, you know, marker early in the season, because number one, the Mystics love to push tempo. Number two, you got shot makers on the court. And number three, you know, they're smart. I mean, their system is smart, and the way that they structure their spacing, they force you into, are you going to guard Atkins in the corner or Deladon on the block? They're on the same side. So good luck. Where are you going to bring the double if you're going to double? And they just make you choose and pick your poison. So I think when you have someone who can distribute the way that she does, if she has that wisdom and she understands the game so well, I think that is going to be fun to watch as well. I think that's going to be really fun to see how Mike Thibault and his staff utilizes her skill set with the players that are in place. And that to me is exciting, to say the least. I'm ready.
And we got two Ruis in the same city, baby. Ruri Hachimura, Ruri Machida, repping the Japanese contingent in DC. It'll be really fun. Yeah. I hope she's gonna get a solid chance to make the team. Like I said, I don't know if she would make this long trip over here without the idea that she can make this team, and I don't think the Mystics would do this without thinking that she's gonna make this team. Although I think there is going to take some time to get adjusted, because it is like, this is the best league in the world, right? Like I think it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for her, but no reason why she can't do it. No reason why she can't do it. She's in her prime. She's played against the best in the world. I think she, it'll be really, really fun to see her on this team. And I hope she gets a good chance to do it. All right. Now let's move to college.
And hey.
Yeah, I know everyone's gonna get mad about this, but we gotta start with UConn because they lost their first regular season conference game since 2013, an 145 game win streak is dead now. It's 169 games.
Oh, counting 169.
Counting conference tournaments. Yeah.
Yes.
Counting conference tournament games, 169 games. I think the Big East is not the American Athletic Conference, and they lost a good Villanova team that was ready to play them. And, you know, they had a couple close ones that you called that game against Marquette. So UConn, you know, I think they started, you know, ascending a little bit, and then we got super duper excited about them, and I said some really nice things about them, and then they immediately lose, and then they immediately struggled against some other teams. And AZ Flood still looks great, but Olivia Nelson Adota, you know, her health has been a little up and down, and the team's really missed her. But you know, you saw a game against Marquette. What were your impressions of UConn at the moment?
Well, prior to the game, we had a chance to speak with Gino Auriemma, and you know, he was saying, hey, we just have to be smart with who we have. No one's going to feel sorry for us. Everybody has their own story about injuries and illnesses this year, if not more so than last year, right? Yep. And, you know, he said, AZ's really not 100%. Like, she's still working her way back. She's only played, at that point, prior to the Marquette game, she'd only played three games.
This is her working her way back into shape?
That's really what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, but she looks darn good to me. You know, she missed 11 games with that foot injury. And, you know, as a freshman coming in, you know, you were playing non-conference games at that juncture, you know, when she got hurt. And then to come in middle of the conference season and put up the numbers she's putting. And then the Tennessee game where she had a career high 25 and then smashed that against Villanova and had 29 and then had 24 against Marquette, a tough defensive team. And they were depending upon her. And I thought in that third quarter, they just put the jets on in terms of their defense. They were getting some fast break opportunities and they got the ball to AZ. I think she had six of her 24 in the first half. But what I saw was a really hungry Marquette team. Oh my God, Megan Duffy's shooting practice game. First of all, I got a nice inbounds play off of it for our South Lakes team. But just... She was so fantastic as a coach. Like, you know, when you're sitting in the gym and you're around coaches that have a tremendous amount of energy, like I thrive in that space. Like, I love that. Like, I would love to play for a coach like that. And, you know, UConn didn't have a shoot around. So I'm not like shading UConn. Like theirs wasn't there. They didn't take it because they were playing like basically every other day. And it was an early game basically. So they didn't take theirs, but Marquette took theirs for an hour. And every 10 minutes they move sides and did something different. All right, here we're doing, we're going to walk through their stuff. Okay, come on this side. We're going to go through our inbounds. Okay, go on the other side. We're going through our zone sets. I'm like, what? And it was like clockwork. It was very, very structured and energetic. And the kids were thriving in that space as well. And then I said to Lisa Byington, we were sitting there together. And I said to her, I said, gosh, she really reminds me of Kim Barnes-Arrico from Michigan. And I've forgotten that she was assistant coach with Kim Barnes-Arrico at St. John's and Michigan, but it was just like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's it. She planted a seed in Megan Duffy, and Marquette is a tough team.
Well, and team. And what you're saying really showed up because when you know, I was watching, I'd like to watch AZ Fudge shooting because who wouldn't? It's just beautiful. But like, you know, they really snuffed out a lot of the, you know, plays that UConn likes to run for AZ Flood, and they forced her to drive and beat them off the bounce rather than getting these set shots. And they threw a lot of different looks there. Unfortunately for Marquette, AZ Flood figured it out. She's a tremendous basketball player. Kudos to her. And she was able to use, you know, it wasn't just her shooting in this game. It was a lot of getting into people's bodies and using her teammates as well. She had a few assists. So, you know, but I think Marquette, they really showed off that discipline. And right now, according to ESPN's Charlie Cream, they are the third team on the first four out. So they'll need some good performances down the stretch. If they can sneak a win in against UConn in the tournament, that would, that's probably going to put you in the in the big tournament. And then they also play UConn at UConn on the 23rd of February. So just in a couple of weeks. So they'll have another chance here to show the committee that they belong in the tournament. But I'm with you. They looked really, really impressive, really sharp, really disciplined, especially against a team that you need to be really sharp and disciplined against. Speaking of a team who is sharp and disciplined and someone that I've been paying attention to all season, because I wrote a story about them the first week, the Virginia Tech Hokies snag fourth place in the ACC. They had two straight ranked wins for the first time since like 2015. This week, they beat number 11 Georgia Tech by 10, beat number 23 UNC 66-61. They're looking awesome. Yeah. I wrote about them early in the year because I think they have the just a really great mix of players. A mix of players that really makes sense around each other. Elizabeth Kitley in the middle, Asia Shepherd as the guard. The player that I did not see coming was Georgia Amor, who has upped her game from the first game this season to now, I think, more than pretty much any player in the country. She's been incredible lately, her shooting, her driving, her kicking. She's bringing the energy. And she's gone from this player who, you know, I kind of saw as like the energy piece and the person who brought energy to the player who's bringing the buckets, who's bringing the offense for this team. So they're looking, you know, like a low-key team to watch out for here in February heading into March.
Yeah, no doubt. And you're talking about Kenny Brooks here.
Yeah,
Kenny like, Brooks. Let's not forget about Kenny Brooks and what he was able to do at JMU for several seasons. And I just think that he's waited for this moment, for this team to be able to knock off these ranked teams. And they had some wins early in the season as well. And they were right outside the top 25. So I think this may get them in to the top 25 next week.
Were they not in the top 25 right now?
I think they were receiving votes. I could be wrong, but I think they were in the next five. Am I right?
I'll look now, but if that's... I
believe that's the case. They were in the low... like
No, yeah, now, 20, now they're at 25? 23. They're at 23
They're
now,
at 23. Okay. This week. Because last week, I know they were in that five at the end.
Yes.
But this week, okay, good. Because that's where they belong. I think that... you know, the way that they play, not just offensively, like you said, they have that balance, but I think their defense is something that, you know, needs to be talked about a little bit more with Virginia Tech and what they were able to do to a team like North Carolina that likes to get up and down and push it. They took them out of their game. And to have two ranked wins back to back, I think that's a dose of confidence that you can't manufacture verbally to your team.
For
like,
sure.
No, you did that. Right. You listened, you followed the game plan, you executed. That's on you guys. You know, as a coach, I always say, I only take credit for the losses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The players that when we win games, that's on the kids because you executed, you listened, followed directions. And then sometimes, you know, in those losses, it's like, okay, those things didn't happen. So maybe I needed to come up with something else as a coach. So that's my theory. And I'm sticking with it. Other people may have, you know, other reasoning, but I it's not like I would ever take credit for a win anyway in a team sport, but you know, if there's a loss, you know, I'm falling on the sword. Cause that's what you're supposed to do. That's, you know, that's on me. If we can't win, I need to find a way to help the team win. When the team wins, it's because they are doing what they are capable of doing and they sustain it throughout the game. And I'll tell anybody that from the top of the roof. And, you know, that's just how I feel.
No, I love Kenny Brooks, man. He's been, just has a really like cool vibe. Like seems like a guy you want to hang out with. I think that team has that vibe too. It's just like, we kind of know what we're doing. You know, we're cool. We're having fun with each other. They're setting school records. Asia Shepherd is now the all-time leader in threes for the ACC. Well-deserved honor for a kid from Alexandria and someone who I think should be a second round, early second round draft pick in the WNBA. I haven't quite gotten that far, but for now, for Virginia Tech, the big rub of it is that they're in sole possession of third place in the ACC. They're looking for a double bye into that conference tournament because the conference is tough. Like the middle of the conference is good. You get to Boston College, Miami, Florida State, Miami picking it back up, baby. Got that win over Florida State. That's not teams you really want to play, especially if you get into the second round, you're playing against UNC's and Notre Dame's. So they want to get out to that top four seed, get the double bye and see what they can do in the tournament. Cause I think they are a dangerous team. And it does really revolve around Kitley. You know, I think we dance around Kitley's a superstar. She has an argument to be the best big in this conference. I know Elisa Kanane's around and Lorella Kubai is around too, but you know, I really, really enjoy watching Kitley and her growth this year and the team's on the upswing. So we'll see what happens. Obviously this is NC State's and Louisville's conference. And I'd be really surprised if if that's not the championship game here. But Virginia Tech's a team to watch out for.
Man, how about NC State? My goodness, man.
Yeah.
Westmore has them rolling. They are playing so incredibly well right now.
No,
number three in the country.
All those top teams, all the top teams are just mowing people down. I think the stat that I saw in the bracketology is like they're 27-1 since January 21st.
Wow.
Which, like, guys, that's a
clip there.
That's a special.
You're on quite a click.
That's a special team. The special team's at the top. Oh, and we get NC State at Virginia Tech on February 27th.
Mark it down.
All right, so that's everything I have non-Big Ten division of stuff. Are we good? You want to dive into the Big Ten?
Absolutely. Boy, there's so much to talk about in the Big Ten.
It's your conference, and it kind of went crazy over the last few days. I had to redo like my whole sheet because Nebraska, they didn't blow out Indiana, but they comfortably won against Indiana. And Indiana is struggling without Mackenzie Holmes. Michigan, two losses to unranked teams, and Michigan State and Northwestern, two really good unranked teams. Missing Leah Brown. You look at Iowa, they are missing McKenna Warnock, and they got beat pretty handily against Maryland. And now the team that was so injured to start the year and struggled so much. And the last time we really delved into Maryland, we kind of got into them a little bit, talking about how their mentality had to change. Well, I think it's safe to say that their mentality changed because they have they basically control their own destiny here heading into the end of the year. They finish the season with Ohio State, Indiana, Michigan. If they win all three of those games, they're guaranteed at least a share of the Big Ten title.
Right.
So, Christy, what is your reaction to the complete shuffle we had in this conference this week?
Oh, man. I mean, if you thought things were solidifying in terms of seedings, you were wrong. So I'm speaking to myself. I did not see this upheaval coming, but you also have to, like you said, factor in the injuries to key players. It's not like, just somebody on the roster. No, you're talking about 20-point players for their respective teams. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie Holmes, a presence in the paint, not just offensively, but defensively as well as on the glass.
For sure.
And then you're talking about Leah Brown, a 20-point player for Michigan. So where are you going to get all that extra offense if you're those two teams and you're playing in the Big Ten that has staunch defensive teams like the Northwestern with their blizzard defense? Mm-hmm. And I mean, you just have to do your best and really fight for what your standards are.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be missing key pieces, but that shouldn't change your standards. That shouldn't change your expectations of other players in their role, except for everyone has to pick it up. I mean, this is what you bring, but we need just a little bit more collectively to make up for the two huge pieces that both of those teams are missing. And it's just a tough time for that to happen. Hopefully they'll both be back. I think Mackenzie Holmes may have a bigger recovery time than Leah Brown.
So,
I think Leah Brown's was an ankle, correct?
Yeah. Brown has been up and down. Like I heard, her and Warnock have been up and down. I've heard Warnock. Yeah, I think I was hoping to have her back against Maryland last night. That didn't happen. Mm. I think Brown was kind of on track to come back, and then that didn't happen. So it looks like those two will be back soon-ish here. Holmes is the one that had the injury that I think a lot of people thought was going to be season ending, and then Deanna said, we're thinking she's gonna come back tournament time, so we'll see about those three teams, the injuries. But I mean, I think sorry Maryland, because I didn't mention it, they didn't have Ashley Owusu last night,
right,
against Caitlin Clark and this vaunted Iowa offense. And they still looked amazing. I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to that Maryland defense, even though they gave up plenty of points. I don't even remember what was the final. They gave up 69, right. So they held Iowa under 70. But man, I want to shout out my girl, one of the only players that follows me on Twitter. And if you want me to say nice things about you, players, follow me on Twitter. My girl, Katie Benson.
Katie.
She was all over Caitlin Clark. And that is not a player that if you saw her on the street, you'd be like, she can guard Caitlin Clark. She Diamond Miller had the main responsibility on her. But in the second half, things kind of changed, and they you know, Caitlin started hunting that mismatch of Katie Benson, and it was not a mismatch. Katie stayed right with her, challenged the shots, took charges, and she hit a big three at the end of the game, despite her shooting, well, relative shooting woes for her because she's such a great shooter this year. I thought she did great, and this Maryland team coming together now, I mean, we talked about it. They're one of the most talented teams in the country. I don't see why they shouldn't be in that contender conversation at the moment.
No doubt. I mean, in the fourth quarter, Caitlin Clark didn't score until the last couple of minutes of regulation. And Katie Benson, there was this play at the very end. I think it was like 3 minutes left or something. And Clark was driving to her left, kind of coming off the elbow right there and coming off a screen. Benson stayed connected to her, but the replay was in slow-mo. And Benson had her tongue going right to left. She was digging in. So like she was playing so hard. And, you know, that was a fierce matchup for sure for her, giving up a lot of inches there in terms of the matchup with Clark. But she was fighting through that. You know, she's like, I may be shorter in stature, but not from the interior. Like, I'm going to bring you this heart. And Caitlin Clark, I mean, she was held under her average. I believe she had 19, but she had 19 is like pedestrian for Caitlin Clark for scoring, but you know, you had to credit Maryland's defense on her and how they mixed it up, gave her different looks and, you know, the challenge that presented. But I mean, she was held scoreless in that fourth quarter for most of that fourth quarter when they needed a bump up, and then Monica Sonano fouled out.
Yep.
You know, so then there's another piece of offense that's missing for you. So, and that was at Iowa. So I really think that it speaks volumes to what McKenna Warnock means for Iowa. Mm-hmm. And you may not hear her name as much as you hear the law firm of Clark and Sonano, but she's the glue player. And Lisa Bluter, the head coach at Iowa, will be the first to tell you, like, she does all the little things. She's the one getting the rebounds out of the mud. Like, she's the one diving on the floor. And not that the other players don't do that, but she brings a different element and another player who does that. And they need that kind of energy on the floor. So clearly missing her in these last stretch of games here that they've lost close ones in.
No, Warnock's a great shooter too. The spacing was really off for Iowa and has been without her. And I think that, you know, that makes Caitlin Clark a less efficient player when Warnock's out there. So let's hope she gets back. And we got to mention, you know, the star of the night, Angel Reese. I don't even remember her final line. I'll look it up right now. But
I know she had 18 in the first half. I know that.
She had 18. She ended up with 25 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and it wouldn't be a Diamond Miller. I mean, it wouldn't be an Angel Reese game without 5 turnovers, but that doesn't matter when she's doing all the other things. And this is the player that, like, you know, we kind of got on her a little bit the last time we talked about Maryland because she can be, you were waiting for her to be this type of player. Like, you can be sort of wild at times when you're doing all the other things in control. And she was, I mean, you know, so she takes some crazy layups, but she also is putting people into the basket, and she can drive from the outside, and she has so much talent, and she's a player who's really putting it together. And I think has even like sky's the limit potential for her. She's going to get much better as in her time under Brenda Freeze at Maryland. So this was not a coming out party, because we've seen stuff like this from Angel Reese, but I think this was a statement game for her. But what'd you see from her?
I saw her passion once again shining through. You know, there was a play at the end where the ball bounced off. I think she was the one that was in that play. It was with Caitlin Clark on the sideline there. And she has these long go-go gadget arms and kind of got to the ball, got a piece of it, and then it bounced off Clark's leg.
Yeah.
And she was like roaring up the floor. And it was like one of those moments where it's just like, total momentum changed, mm-hmm. you know, just because of that one play. And Maryland had the lead, but there's a difference in having the yeah. lead and having momentum. Okay. Yeah. And I think that in that play in particular changed the momentum for Maryland to close out on the road. And I think there were a lot, judging from the Twitter conversations about the game last night, there were a lot of Maryland fans who were concerned all game until the buzzer went off. And mm-hmm. and as you should be at Iowa and playing in a sure. game like that. So, I mean, McKenna Warnock didn't play, neither did Ashley Owusu. So they kind of canceled each other out, right? So, I mean, it was left to next player up.
We got to give Ashley Owusu a little bit more credit. I love McKenna Warnock.
I hear you.
She's a good player. Shane Ashley Owusu.
I love when you put your hand up like, wait a minute.
I love Ash. Hey, McKenna, shouts to McKenna Warnock. We hope you're healthy.
Shout out.
You're going to make a huge difference for Iowa. She ain't Ashley Owusu.
Understood.
I don't know when Ashley Owusu is coming back, though. She has an ankle. Tough. I think it's tough to deal with. I don't know. I haven't seen any sort of updates on her as to how long that's going to last. So I really hope she can come back soon and start reintegrating with this team so they can make a run here. I mean, I think these last three games are going to tell us, I mean, everything we're going to need to know about Michigan, Ohio State, and Maryland. Yeah. Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, Indiana, and Maryland.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to show my age right here a little bit. And I'm just going to say, hey man, when I had a bad ankle, and this is no shade, and this is not Ashley Owusu, like, you know, shading hour here. But I played the very next day, and I'm not trying to have a gold sticker on my forehead because of it, but I mean, times have changed and I appreciate that. And now my ankle is bad to this day because I did that. But I mean, that thing was blown up, my whole foot and like lower leg was purple and green. And, you know, you put the, what do you call it? The moleskin, like directly to the skin. It was like a cast. You don't even know about it. People listening, y'all know I'm talking about the pink stuff. It was like, it was like fuzzy and it wrapped around. Listen, and that took skin off. And that's a whole nother story. But anyway, I think I missed one practice because I rolled it at the beginning of a practice and played the rest of the way. And I was a senior. And I remember I went to the trainer afterwards. I was like, yeah, I rolled my ankle. And then she looked at it. She was like, oh my God, when did you do that? And I was like, at the beginning. And she was like, why didn't you come down when you did it? And I said, because I'm a senior. And she was like, you're a stubborn senior. And I was like, yeah, but okay, what do I do with it? It's like, it's horrible. Help me. So that was bad news, but I don't know. It's smart to treat it and take your time getting back. But I will say that, you know, back in the day, you just slap some tussin on and keep it pushing. That's it.
I'm glad we've evolved. I'm glad we've evolved.
I guess so.
This is an aside. I heard someone say, like, you're not supposed to put ice on things now. I saw someone, I don't know. I'm not a physical therapist. If you're a physical therapist or like a coach, I don't know, whatever people who deal with this are. Like, tell me if ice is good. I don't know what I heard ice like delays recovery.
I have heard, you know, there are some acupuncture things if you get the acupuncture, you're not supposed to ice before you get the acupuncture because the acupuncture takes the swelling out faster than the ice does. So you shouldn't, if you're doing it that way. And because I have teenagers now who have had ankle situations and that has been the advice to them regarding that. But I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor. But I just.
You ever do acupuncture? I've never done acupuncture.
I have not. I should, because of me not treating it back in the day. I should do it now. But no, I digress. I haven't tried it, but my children have tried it, and it has been good for them to take some of the stress off the joint if they have ankle issues. So
they're young, though. I feel like the things that work for the young don't work for us, the olds.
Older. It's not, we're not stamping old yet.
So. not quite. Not
older
quite
than
yet.
Teenagers.
check with us on a courtside episode number 200. We're on 65 yeah. now. We'll see how old we are by then. Also, I do want to shout out Michigan State. Nia Claudin, man. I dug into her tape.
Yeah, legit.
She's all right, I'll say one thing, and I don't know how true this is because I haven't watched a lot of her bad games. I think she's the best guard in the draft. I think she's the best guard in the draft.
Nice. So Mystics. Mystics have the number one pick.
I don't think they're going. I think I'd still take Ryan Howard or Nalissa Smith over her. But
okay,
I think she's the best guard in the draft. Like maybe number 4, 5, 6 range.
Okay.
I don't want to get into too predictive stuff, but I do want to shout out Michigan State and Northwestern. They have 6 losses in the conference, although I think Michigan State may have one more. I think both those teams are kind of still in the bubble. Not according to bracketology on ESPN, they're not, but in my mind, they are, because I think, you know, if you finish, you know, in the middle of the Big Ten, you have a good chance of making the tournament, in my opinion. And I think Northwestern's on the next 4 out. Nebraska's obviously in, especially with this win against Indiana. I think they're in, no doubt. So they're all kind of stuck there close to each other. Nebraska's on top of them just because of the quality of their wins. And because Nebraska's just really, really good, complete team when they're rolling. I think they can beat pretty much anyone. And I think Northwestern, you know, they're talented, but what they really do is the discipline, the Blizzard defense, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And I think Michigan State, they're going to need more than just Claudin, but she's good enough to take you places. So I think all 3 of those teams are sliding under the radar. I do want to say the 6 teams that are currently in the bracket are Indiana as a 3 seed as of this morning, Michigan as a 2 seed, Maryland as a 4 seed, Iowa as a 6 seed, Nebraska as a 7 seed, Ohio State as a 6 seed. Actually, you did one team we didn't talk about enough, Ohio State. You did their game against Illinois. Killed Illinois. And, Illinois have a nice offseason. What'd you think of the Buckeyes?
Tough. In another way, listen, their defense has become their MO, and I love it. I think that was one of the questions to Kevin McGuff post game yesterday. They run this 2-2-1 full court pressure when they score, and they score a lot, right? At the beginning of the game, it was a little disjointed. They couldn't get into their press because they were missing shots. And they're kind of one and done with it. And, you know, then they just have to fall back into quarter court defense. But when they can apply their full court pressure with Mike Sell up top, with JC Sheldon up top, I mean, they can wreak havoc. And Beacham, I mean, her game has just evolved over the season. But I just think her energy, when they're pressing like that at the back of that press, she's rebounding, she's rotating, she's aggressive. And I just think that, you know, it makes a world of difference when you have players that are in sync and on a rope defensively. And that's what Ohio State looks like. And that makes it tough for any opponent, right? And they play Maryland on Thursday. So that's going to be a really great test for Ohio State against a team like Maryland, who likes, again, to push tempo and try to, you know, score quickly and get to the offensive boards with Angel Reese leading the country with 5-0 boards per game. So it's going to be very interesting what that game looks like, and if the length of Maryland on the perimeter in particular disrupts Ohio State defensively on their own, just like they did with Iowa. I thought that was, you know, like you said, with Diamond Miller on Clark to start the game. So I think it's going to be really interesting for Ohio State to see if they can continue to sustain what they've done defensively. But I think if you have that as your MO rather than your offense being your MO, you control the game a little bit better because you can always bring the effort on that side. Shots not always going to fall, right? So I think the way that Kevin McGuff has structured this team in the absence of Madison Green, who tore ACL earlier in the season, I think it's been remarkable. I think it's been really remarkable to see them sustain it. Like, this is what we want to do. But they've not only just done it one time, they've sustained it over the course of this conference portion of the season in particular. And that to me has been very impressive.
Yeah, the game's on 8 p.m. on Thursday. Do you have that game? You
do know? I do.
Oh, all right. Christy on the call. I will be in Miami for my sister's wedding. Hooray. Oh. Leaving tomorrow. Be lovely.
Oh. Congratulations. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's it'll be really fun. I just now I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, man, I wish I could go to that game. It's fine. We get Indiana here on the 25th. I'll put in my credential request now.
That's right. Next Friday.
That'll
be a good one. Also, and maybe Holmes back, maybe.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. I probably wouldn't put her in the last regular season game. Just because, right, if she comes in and she gets her in the last regular season game, you're going to feel like an idiot.
Tournament, yeah.
Bring her back to tournament time. They also have – they play Iowa on – Indiana does on Saturday. Going to be awesome. And then on Sunday – who else do we got on Sunday? Oh, we have UConn. We have UConn Georgetown in Hartford.
We do. And I'm supposed to be in the studio for that.
Oh, yeah.
In New York.
Exciting.
Okay. So right now, but there's a lot of moving parts. So hopefully that still works out, but there's a lot of moving parts to that.
And then also on Sunday, we have Maryland, Michigan. So going to be a crazy week of basketball as usual. I mean, it's just every week now, everything matters so much more. The stakes are higher. Also I should mention, because I'm going to be at my sister's wedding, there will be no Her Hoop Stats podcast this week. Oh my God. We forgot to tell people to follow us on social media at the beginning.
Oh my gosh.
Tell them. Oh, follow us at Her Hoop Stats. Her Hoop Stats at Substack.com. You can find the best women's basketball analysis in the world. Oh, I can't believe we forgot to tell you people this at the beginning of the podcast. Our Twitter names have popped up already. They're not even down there. We're pointing at nothing. We're looking at nothing.
Oh, well.
Oh, whatever.
That's okay.
I can put them in again.
Y'all know where to find us, honey. You know where we are.
Yeah, you guys know where to find us. And if you're watching on YouTube, we hope you're having a lovely day with us here in our pink. It's two different shades of pink. I never had I got this from Stitch Fix. It's not something I ever buy, but I really like this pale pink.
I think I got this at Target. I got it at Target.
That's right.
I like that. Be kind. You know, I like to, when I travel, I like to wear, you know, I have a shirt that says grateful. And then be kind, you know, just reminders for people. And people say stuff like, I like that, or grateful, like, I know exactly what you mean by that. And I'm like, you do? I was like, good, okay, have a nice day.
I love it. I get some sarcastic ones, like, tire shoe. You're walking too slow. You have something in your teeth. Those are the shirts. Honestly, I might get a shirt.
You would wear that.
I would wear that. You have something in your teeth. And now it doesn't matter if you have something in your teeth. You're thinking about having something in your teeth all day long. That's my final thought of the day, Christine, unless we have anything else to talk about.
No, man, I love it. Hey, it's always a blast, my friend, you know, and I know you're going to have so much fun at your sister's wedding, but I know you will be side-eyeing the score of the Maryland Ohio State game you cut the quarter, like, hey, everybody, and then like take a peek, and that's fine. You have permission.
So the wedding's on Friday night.
Okay. So you're good.
But Thursday we have the welcome party. Dinner. So maybe I can sneak it on a screen somewhere. I don't even know where. I'm not even sure where the welcome party is. I'll have a little covert AirPod. We need skin color AirPods. Has anyone thought of this? Like a skin color AirPod, one that's camouflaged such that no one can see it. I don't know. I don't understand technology. If someone could do that, or if that's been invented, please let me know, because I'd wear it.
Like a Band-Aid, like the Band-Aid.
Like the Band-Aids, exactly.
I like it. You know, you like it, I love it. They need to do that.
I'm off the rails.
You said a covert AirPod. On that note, that took me, so I love it. But you're going to have a blast. We're going to have a blast this week, too, with the rest of the games this week and this weekend coming up. We're going to recap it all for you next time, right here, on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. We don't have to go home, Gabe, but we got to get up out of here. They're cutting the lights out on us right here on Courtside with Christy and Gabe. We're going to see you next time. I am Christy Winter-Scott for Gabe Ibrahim. Thanks for joining us.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.